This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I just want to testify that on the 18th of May, I had my 14-year anniversary with the lover of my life, Jesus Christ. He came to change my life 14 years ago, and it was quite a dramatic change. And I'm so thankful for him every single day. I just can't have enough of time that I spent with him. And he's truly the lover of my life. So before we get to the word, I just want to thank Pastor Heinrich for the opportunity to share the word this morning. And I'm reminded I met a new visitor this morning, and they saw one of our other pastors when he just went to UK, and he was struggling a bit with English. And 2 years later, she went back. And he was not struggling so much with the English. So forgive me if my Afrikaans comes through. I'll really try my best this morning. But yeah, you know, the last time that I preached over here was last year sometime. And the Lord has really done amazing work in the last couple of months in my life. And there's so much that has changed in my life, and I just want to glorify Him for who He is. And yeah, I work with two wonderful teams. I serve two offices. I work at the Stellenbosch office, and I also work in the Somerset West office 2 days a week in the one office, and then 2 days a week in the other office. And the guys that I work with are really, really amazing. The one sits in the open plan office, and the other one sweeps floors. So it's really amazing to see the humility of the leaders that we serve. And I just want to thank each one of them for the opportunity, and also the team that I work with. I mean, Big G is probably the only guy that makes the world look small when he wears that go t-shirt or the top that he wears. And Theo, thank you for the impact that you have made also in my life and still doing. It's really, really such a privilege to know you and to also have a walk with you. If any of you struggle with freedom, please come and visit Theo. I would like to compel you to go and visit him, because he knows the Father's heart. He knows what the Father's heart is for his people. I've got this new app that I found that you can actually write on PowerPoint. So you guys can't see the red writings that I've got here, but if you had to see my writing here, there would be a few of you that would actually be able to read it. But then I also want to thank my wife, my beautiful wife, that has really supported me over this last while and really backed me and also the family, and allowing me to spend some time also to prepare this weekend for the message. When the children are running crazy and they're going this way and that way, and you sort of are isolated or just spending time with God, it's really a privilege. So I want to thank you, Talita, for that. The scripture that I want to start with is in Genesis 17, verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Also I give, and verse 8, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Isn't it amazing that the Father of the nations is actually God? And that there when he met Abram, Abram was in quite a low because he didn't have any children. And his wife was already getting old. But the Lord came to meet Abram, and he was dwelling in a strange land. And then the Lord said, I will be your God, and you will have an everlasting possession. So the Lord is always there, and he's always wanting to meet with each of us. He wants to change us from strangers into knowing him. And isn't that the beautiful news of the gospel? That the gospel is the news that God wants to change us from orphans to sons. He wants to come and change each one of us back to him. When we read in John 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Lord has proven his love to each one of us by sending his Son, so that his Son would take every sin that we could possibly do. Those old rags, that word that came out, and I almost wanted to like intercept the mic that when Robert came to bring that word, because he took a lot of what the message is this morning. And while I was standing here, the Lord just came and he sort of changed a lot of the message that I'm bringing this morning. But this morning, he has proven his love to each one of you, to me. He has proven his love. He has sent his Son so that we can be free. Johan, if you can come forward. I don't know where my prop man is. Johan is a good friend. He also loves to skateboard, which is also one of my passions when I go to the Stellenbosch office, because there's no parking, I use the skateboard to travel in. And we've also been in trouble riding skateboards. But I want to just read a scripture in 1 Timothy 2 from 3 to 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, I brought some chains. I'm not going to strike him, but if you can hold the mic for me.
Sure. I'm a Dini, by the way.
Okay. He's not supposed to be able to break those chains. I first thought I'm going to ask Gerard to be the prop, but then I thought he might be able to break the chains. But he cannot break these chains. These chains is holding him. And 14 years ago, I was held by these chains. And I don't know what the chains are that is holding you. Each one of you, what are the chains that we are being bound by? So, on the 18th of May, 2003, Sorry, Johan. The 18th of May, 2003, the Lord came and I accepted Christ into my life. And He came and He unlocked. He broke the chain and I was free. It was the chain that came, or the Lord that came, and He broke that chain, and I was free. It was like I couldn't help myself. I couldn't stop praising Him for the liberty and the freedom that He has given me. There's some people here that do know who the old Eugene was. But that was an ugly person. My nickname back in high school was Dolis, which came from my surname, which is Dolman. And we were on an outreach in India the other day, and sometimes I still use my nickname as some of my passwords. And so we were on this outreach, and they required my password for something. And so when the team leader heard that my password is Dolis, he started to call me Dolis. So and he was making a lot of fun. So I told him, "Listen, Pastor Ross, I think you must stop calling me Dolis, because we don't want him to come and visit on this outreach, because he was really not a safe person." But Jesus came to break the chains. Now, many times, and this is where the Lord really came this morning, sort of changed the direction or part of the message that I was bringing to the following. So, many times we take these chains. Then we take a chain. And this morning, I want to talk about a specific chain. We put this one specific chain on that eliminates. Remember, when He comes, when He saves us, He gives us the key, eh? You guys must be aware of that. He doesn't take the key and run away with the key. He actually takes that key and He gives it. Because Jesus Christ is that key. He is the freedom. But this chain that we put on many times is the chain of unforgiveness. And you know, the Lord cannot understand unforgiveness. And the reason why I cannot understand unforgiveness is because He has forgiven us. He has forgiven us all our sins. He has taken that sin, every hurt, everything that we have caused, every trouble that we were in, He has taken that and has given us freedom. He has forgiven us of so much. But when we take this chain of unforgiveness, and we struggle in that unforgiveness, it bounds us again. And this morning, I want to say that the key to that chain, Jesus Christ, is in your hand. And this might be a specific message for one or two people, but what I'm saying is that Jesus is the key. He has forgiven each one of us so much. Let us not walk in unforgiveness, because that's something that God cannot understand, because He has paid the price for our freedom, for us to be set free. You can unlock it. You are free. Indeed. Little bit of unforgiveness.
There's only one key.
This is actually prophetic.
because sometimes we struggle to forgive. So, Johan, you are free. Praise Jesus. He has come to set us free, and I didn't plan that, but it just worked out that way. Sometimes we walk with that unforgiveness, and we actually struggle to take that unforgiveness and bring it to the Lord so that we can walk in that liberty of who we are in Christ. So, this morning, if I can encourage you, be quick to forgive, because God was quick to forgive us. He gave us new life. Psalm 107 verse 14 says, He brought us out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Now, the Lord is, Jesus is the mediator. He is like the bridge. And the Father's heart this morning, while we were praying at intercession prior to church this morning, there was also a word that came out that God wants to restore intimacy. He wants to come and restore intimacy with each one of us. Matthew 22:37-40 says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This scripture is so rich. There's so much in the scripture that we can just know God's love. You know, if I had to go to somebody on the street and I had to quote only that scripture, they would think, "Yo, this oak is crazy." But when I bring the message of the cross which is forgiveness of sins, and what the cross has done for each one of us, then it's a total different message, because the Lord loves us. He first loved each one of us. And that's why we can come to Him, why we can love Him. That's why we can love our neighbor as ourselves. It's the great commandment. Then our inheritance, the Father of nations, our inheritance. Hebrews 9 verse 15. "And for this reason He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." When we come to Christ, we've got eternal inheritance. The scripture in Hebrews 9 really brings it across so beautiful. The mediator's death necessary. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. It's a difficult word for me to say. Testator. "For the testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." Isn't that so? That a will can only happen when somebody has died. That will can only be given on to the next generation when that person actually comes to death. If you think of it. So, Jesus came so that we can have eternal inheritance. Do you know that there is about 3 million people that can lay claim to 45 billion rand of estates and inheritances? That's just lying there. It's there, but nobody has laid a claim to that. I didn't have time to check UK, but I think UK is much more. 45 billion rands worth of estate that is lying and that's not been claimed. That's a lot of money. 3 million people who's the beneficiaries that has never laid claim to that 45 billion rands worth of inheritance. Now, that's crazy to think that. And this now reminds me of a little clip that I saw the other day of a guy that goes to the barber and he tells the barber, who's a Christian, that he doesn't believe in God, because if the world is so devastated, there can't be a God. And the barber was puzzled, because he didn't know where to build from that point. And when the guy left, the barber was sort of in a very low space. But then the barber, it was actually the guy when he said there is no God, it was actually the barber. So then the barber went outside and he saw, I'm telling it all wrong now, but the impact will be the same. So when the barber went out for lunch, I'm turning it around now. So when the barber went out for lunch, he saw somebody standing there with messed up hair. And this oak really looked filthy. So the next time around, when the atheist came around, that guy with the messed up hair was outside again. And he asked the atheist guy who came for the haircut, "Do you believe that there is barbers?" "Yes, yes, yes, yes. I believe that there is barbers." He took him by the hand outside and he said, "Look at this man. He just never came to the barber. There was a barber, but the world needs to come and claim the inheritance. They need to come and ask the Lord, come to Him, because He's got eternal inheritance for each one of us." So, the other beautiful thing is that Christ died for us. But when we come to be baptized, when we die, baptism is that place where we actually die. The old self comes to dying in that water. When we leave that old self behind, we can lay claim to that inheritance. Once we give our life to Christ, we can lay claim to that inheritance that is there for us to take up. So the Lord wants us to inherit. 1 Peter 3 verse 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." That inheritance that He has for us is incorruptible. It's not like an inheritance of gold and silver that can be corrupted. That inheritance that He has for us is eternal. It's stored in heaven for us. But do you know that we can claim our inheritance already here on earth? Because in Galatians 3 verse 8 says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abram beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. In us as believers, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Amen. You are quiet this morning. Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are no longer slaves to sin. He has paid the price so that we can be free of that sin, so that we can claim our inheritance. Now, many times when we go through life, there's things that come and it comes and it breaks our trust in God. Now we've got another prop, or the same prop, but another. So, this morning, what are the things that we are wrapping around ourselves? Sometimes is it that nice coffee that, or that place of absolute comfort that we are seeking? I'm getting dizzy here. Is it that place of not knowing how much the Father loves you? What are the lies? What are the fears that come into our lives? That comes. You know what fear stands for? Fear stands for false evidence appearing real. So as I'm wrapping him with this toilet paper, it's false evidence appearing real. How many of us are wrapped in fear? In that place where we can't come free. Because we take this toilet paper and we wrap it all around us. False evidence appearing real. And this morning, we heard of somebody that went to visit a pharmacist, and he went to get anxiety pills to just help him with the anxiety that he is going through. And it was just so amazing to hear that when he got to the till or to the pharmacist and he asked if this was the right pills that he needs to take, if there was something else, it was just so amazing to hear that as the lady handed him those pills, she gave him a little business card and she told him, I want you to remember this scripture when you are feeling that fear and that anxiety. Come with thanksgiving to the Lord, because this fear and this anxiety is not of Him. He has come to break this. And it's easy to break this. It's not difficult. But it's a lot of this is in our mind. And He has paid the price for our freedom. But more than that, he comes, and he comes and he stands next to us, and he gives us a new rope. I didn't bring a new rope for him, but his new rope is in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ, we find our freedom. Thank you, Johan. You've been a beautiful prop. Corinthians 1 from 9 to 10. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that we will still, that he will still deliver us. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. I was sharing at Bible school earlier this week, and the difference between believing and trusting, I found a good example of that. There was this guy that did a lot of high rope back in the 1800s. So he would tie a rope from one end of a valley to another end, and he would walk over. And it was really this amazing thing that he did, because he was really good at what he did. He was always putting the one foot before the other one, and he was even doing tricks. And he drew some crowds whilst he was doing that. And every time that trick just became a little bit more crazy, just a little bit more daring. And so the people's belief in his ability increased. And he just did one more trick, and then the final trick that he was going to do was he took a wheelbarrow, and he was going to cross this valley with this wheelbarrow. So he asked the people, so who believes that I can cross this valley with this wheelbarrow? And everybody like, whoo, yes, you can do it. You can do this wheelbarrow thing. And then his question was, who of you will jump in the wheelbarrow? And there was no hands. Because the Lord wants to trust. He wants us to trust him. If we read in 1 John 4, verse 18 and 19, we had amazing, Tiana and Gerard had an amazing cell the other day on God's love. But I was going through this scripture in 1 John 4, and you can actually go and read the whole 1 John 4, because it speaks a lot about God's love. But the word love, sometimes it gets watered down because we use that word love so many times that we don't really know the impact of that love. And I just felt that if I change that word from love to trust, it just made such an impact. So you guys can go and read the whole 1 John 4. Even 1 John 3, where it starts and speaks a lot about love. But this specific scripture just made it so clear. There is no fear in trust, but perfect trust cast out fear. Because trust involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in trust. We trust him because he first trusted us. So this morning, where are the areas that we can put our faith in him? Because that is the first step. I have also, in my previous career that I had, I suffered a lot with anxiety, and I never really clicked the scripture, the love. Who must I love? What must I love? How must I love? until I realized that this anxiety comes from a trust issue. It comes from an area in my life that I'm not trusting the Lord. And some of you might know the journey of the last August is a year, that after I resigned at my previous workplace to pursue God more and do what He wants me to do for the season, there was a lot of fear that was in my life, but I had to take that step of faith to Him, because when that bridge is not there before you, He is the mediator. He is the one that will be there when we step out. And I don't know what the area is that each one of you need to step out of, what that area is. But I want to encourage you, take a step of faith. Come back to trusting the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:5-9. Not that we are sufficient. I just read that one. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Him, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word ministry means service. That's what the word ministry means. It means service. And this is the only ministry that there actually is the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation, what does that mean? You know, when I was still in the world, each one of you have a journey that you are on. But there are that time that we are on the one side of the bridge and we can't reach out to God. We need the mediator, Jesus Christ, to come and bring us to God. And that's the only ministry that there is. It is for us to be mediators, to bring people to Jesus Christ so that He can be the mediator between man and God. Because that is what God's heart is. His heart is for us to be reconciled to His heart. And this morning, the good news is that Jesus is here as the mediator to reconcile whatever that thing is that we are going through to the perfect will of the Father. So there's only one ministry of reconciliation. But also, I know that sometimes we go through difficult patches, difficult areas of our life. And sometimes we just need to stop and feel and know again the Father's embrace. The Father's heart is never to send us out when we are broken. He wants to restore our hearts. He wants to make each one of us whole so that we can be in the work of the ministry, or the word, the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Each one of us, we have obtained mercy. We have obtained mercy. We have obtained his grace to set us free from whatever the things are that is holding us. 1 Timothy 1:12 to 15. Glory to God for his grace. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, that faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What are the areas that you believe disqualifies you? You know, we are all called to full-time ministry. Each one of us. Don't be confused with a call on your life and the function, your work function. Do not be confused with that. Some of us sitting here are engineers, very clever engineers like Gerard. Extremely clever. He knows engineering. He can think out patents and things that most of us can't do. But that is his job function. But our call is to be full-time in the ministry. Full-time bringing people to Christ so that he can reconcile them to the Father's heart. And this morning, I don't know who your neighbor is. I don't know who is sitting next to you in your cubicle or your open plan office, who's living next to you. But this morning, let us share the love that we have found. Not out of obligation, but because of what he has done for us. Because of the freedom that we received through Christ Jesus. And let us remember our salvation daily. When I walk into the office in the morning, now you could probably, those that don't know me, could have picked up that I'm an exhorter. So I like to encourage. And when I get in the morning in the office, I encourage the people because I remember my salvation so clearly. Every morning I'm fresh because of what God has done. And sometimes I freak the people out because they sit and they just say, I just want to drink my coffee now. This freak may go away. They just want to sit there. But I'm just so excited. Just so excited to run in and say, I love Jesus. He saved me. Let that ignite our hearts. Let us not sit and worry and stress and think. I know every personality is different. But the Lord loves you. That's the good news. The gospel is the only good news. When we read the newspapers, what's in the newspapers? It's just bad news. Stop reading newspapers. I let the good news of Scripture change my mind. And I'm not saying that we must be blind to what is happening in the world. But what I am saying is that we need to renew our mind. After we went to that big prayer day with Uncle Angus, a lot of people anticipated that from that day everything will be 100% different. But it wasn't. And the reason Why? It's because our hearts need to change. Our hearts need to be transformed. We have the good news of the gospel. Each one of you sitting here, you have the good news of the gospel that is living in you. And this morning I want to encourage you to live that gospel. When I was preparing, I saw a picture of somebody that is being squashed. And you being squashed so hard that you just don't know what to do. But the Lord is saying that even in that time, He wants to release a beautiful fragrance out of you. This morning, He wants to take all the old rags, like that word that Robert was giving. We had a meeting on Friday morning with a couple of men that recently had a career change, and or that's in the process of changing their career. And one of the guys came new to the group, and he said, "So is this where all the midlifers meet, the midlife crises?" And I said, "No, that's not the group, but we are here to encourage each other through our journey." And then somebody in the group shared of the reality that they are facing. And the reality is that the wife has got cancer. And we asked, "How is it? Are you all right?" We immediately reached out to ask if everything is okay. And the response that we got was not the response that I anticipated or expected. The response was, "Yes, that sickness, we are really trusting and standing in faith for that sickness to go away. But the sickness is giving us a new reality to our precious time that we have here on earth. When we go to the ocean with our children, we spend intimate time with each other. We live our day as if it is the last day. We don't take each day for granted." And that message really encouraged me. This morning, are we living our lives as if it is the last day that we are living? Not out of a place of fear and anxiety, but out of a place of love, a place of the embrace of the Father's love. Because when we embrace the Father's love, it changes us. It changes our communities. It changes our outlook on life when we experience the Father's embrace. And this morning, if the band can come up for me, please. And if all of us can stand, I want to close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you this morning. And Jesus, that we can bring you all the glory and all the honor. But Lord, this morning, we bring our lives before you, Lord. And we want to celebrate, Lord, that you have taken the old rags. You have put those old rags away. You have burned those old rags that once was keeping us bound, that once was making us smell. And this morning, you come to set us free from fear, from anxiety, from our pride. And this morning we choose you Lord, and we are struggling to unlock that lock of unforgiveness, that key that is so hard to turn. We bring it to you, Lord, because you are the key. You are the answer. In all, you are the answer. In all things. This morning, as we are standing here before the Lord, I want to ask if there's anybody here this morning that has not, you've not felt the Father's embrace. You've not experienced the Father's love, His forgiveness. Or maybe you have, like us, like many of us, we've put on that old toilet paper, or that toilet paper of fear. We've wrapped it all around us, and we need to be free from that. If you guys can come forward, and whilst they are coming forward, I want each one of us, for the next couple of minutes, I want us to praise the Lord, because He has given us praise to liberate us. He has given us freedom so that we can be free, that our minds can be renewed, and that our hope can be restored in Him.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.